Yud Aleph Elo, Wednesday, September 11th, Dain David Korn, The Stolen Tefillin.
Good morning. So this was a shaila that is halacha lemaisa that came up. And before I start, I'm just going to say that the emotions of this case, let's try and keep the emotions to the side for the sake of being able to get through some material to be able to deal with it. In the cheshbon of some form of cheshbon mishpat. Somebody came to the Beis Din, and I mentioned this really for the sake of a little bit of publicity might be good for people concerned, people who may have been victims of this in the past. And what happened was somebody came along, they bought a house in Golders Green, and they knew it belonged to somebody who was senior and had emigrated and left this country. And when they received the keys and they went into the place, it was in great need of modernizing. They pulled out the cupboard and moved it out, and loads of pairs of tefillin fell out from behind. They went to investigate the loft area, to build a loft, and they found bags and bags and bags of tefillin. Loads of tefillin in separate bags, piles of hats, piles of coats, all types of items. Clearly, the person who'd sold the house was a kleptomaniac, was clearly unwell. But the question really was, out of these 30, 40 pairs of tefillin, I know they turned up in the Beis Din with large carrier bags full of tefillin, the question is really, the person who bought the house, what responsibilities do they have in respect of these tens and tens of items? One example I can tell you of what happened was that there was a siddur there, a pile of sidurin they found. I don't know why they didn't discover this before when they had a look at the house. But a pile of sidurin, they found a siddur there, and whilst they started suspecting that anything they find in the house may have belonged to somebody else, they scratched off the name. They saw that there was Tippex over a name. They scratched off the Tippex, they found the name, they phoned up the person and said, "Did you lose a siddur? It's got your name on it, we'd like to return it to you." He said, "I didn't lose a siddur," he said, "but I did lose my tefillin, my talis, and in it was a siddur about 12 years ago." So he said, 12 years ago? So he said, "How?" So they asked me, "What do we do with these tefillin?" They've got no identifying features on. This person that got rid of the tefillin bags had got rid of all signs of where it came from. So I said, "You still have to keep it, because," I said, "maybe there could be a siman in the tefillin that maybe somebody will recognize the writing of the sefer, of the person. We'll see, wait." And that's exactly what happened. The person said, "My uncle wrote my parshias. Bring my uncle over here, recognizes his ksav." Anyway, the story went from there. The question really is, as far as I'm concerned, anyone who has had such a terribly unfortunate incident, somebody came to the Beis Din to say he was in Rav Chunna's, he went to be excused for a moment, came out, left his talis and tefillin on the shelf, came back, gone. Tefillin, Rashi, tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam, the talis, the bag, the whole lot disappears. The person clearly didn't do anything with it. Sorry?
The owner of the house, what do you have to say?
The owner of the house has emigrated, as an elderly person, had emigrated, he had nothing to say, and there was nobody to talk to. Now the question was, the person who bought the house, the question is, what chiyuvim does he have in respect to these items? What responsibilities does he have? And that's why the title, Responsibility of Stolen Tefillin, what responsibility? So you might say, well, when we started learning Gemara in Eilu Metzias, so we know there's the question of, did he pick up? The person who finds something, was it before Yush or was it after Yush? 12 years later, there's no question about it. 12 years later, the person's bought himself a new pair of tefillin and he's long given up hope of ever receiving his tefillin. When? Should we say Reuven is the kleptomaniac, is the gunner? Shimon is the one who buys the house. When Shimon bought the house, certainly we can't say Be'isura Osaliode, surely he's bought it after Yush. You can assume of next to certainty all of the items that are there in the house.
But in that case where somebody would recognise a particular cell, then it might not be Yush then.
So Yush was definitely, has happened already.
Yeah, for sure.
12 years ago, this person was delighted to find his tefillin again. In the meantime, he was then the proud owner of the first pair of tefillin, which was stolen from him when he was 15. So he used them for 2.5 years. And the next pair of tefillin that he's wearing every day that he bought immediately afterwards to replace the tefillin that he had. It's not quite unique. You should know the Ksav is not quite unique because the Sefer would have written many tefillin. So that's not quite the end of the story. But let's focus at the moment on Shimon and then we'll think about how you do Hashavas Aveda to make sure it's done in the correct way. So first of all, the question is, when Shimon bought the... Sorry?
Shimon's the buyer.
Shimon's the buyer. He bought the house and now he's landed up with this problem. He's got maybe hundreds of items that belong to other people. What does he do with them? So there is a case over here. There's a Chuvas HaRosh. There's a Chuvas HaRosh over here who says the following. Chuvas HaRosh, Klal Samach Dalet Siman Aleph. And the Chuvas HaRosh says, Imra Reuven, if Reuven saw Sheshimon Nichnas Lebeis Levi, he sees Shimon walking or breaking into Levi's house. Reuven's watching this. V'gonav, and he sees how Shimon stole Chafetz Echod, one item, Uva Osa Chafetz Liav Reuven. Along comes Shimon and says, could you keep this item for me, these silver candlesticks, could you keep them for me for safekeeping? So, again, Shimon's the gunner in this, in the Rosh's case. Shimon, stolen from Levi. Reuven sees it with his own eyes.
Right.
How Shimon removes these candlesticks from Levi's house, and then subsequently, Shimon comes to Reuven and says, please could you keep these for safekeeping? And Reuven has got these items now in his possession. Now, what happened? Reuven gives them back to Shimon. V'chziroi l'Shimon.
No.
He gives them back to Shimon, the gunner. Now Levi opens a file as a claim against Reuven. You had my silver candlesticks in your rishus. Why you shouldn't return them back to me? If you gave them back to Shimon, the gunner, so then I'm holding you responsible for, yes, being mafsid my silver candlesticks. So this is the case. Says the Rosh, Ein yochel lehoitzioi mimenu bedin. Levi has not got a claim against Reuven in din. Why? V'loi domi l'shoyme avedo. Why? What would Levi's claim be? Excuse me, this item that Shimon stole from me, Levi could say, the item that Shimon stole from me, although you didn't steal, you Reuven, you're not the gunner, but you become a shoyme avedo. This is very important. So the Rosh defines what Reuven's possible potential liability is. He becomes a Shoyme Avedo because although Shimon is a gunner, so this item is not an Avedo as far as Shimon is concerned, Shimon's got to give it back. But anybody else, the Rosh is telling us, becomes a Shoyme Avedo. That's very important to be able to classify what an outsider who comes into contact with these items become. So therefore, Reuven becomes a Shoyme Avedo, whether he likes it or not, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the responsibility upon him. So Reuven is a shema aveda for Levi, the rightful owner, to make sure it gets back to him. So now, this is the claim. For Leidom,
he's a
shema
aveda.
Sorry?
Reuven knows that it belongs to Levi.
So Reuven saw, well, he sees, he's standing there, he watches Shimon breaking in, yes, getting through the skylight in Levi's house and coming out with candlesticks. Yes? So he knows they've been stolen. So therefore, Leidom, he's a shema aveda. It's not the case of shema aveda. Well, it's a shema aveda who's poshea. Is going to be chayiv, actively pusher, is going to be chayiv certainly. He says that tzarich lashiv lo b'yabaylim. He's got to give them back to Levi. Why? Kivan sheh Shimon oimer, because Shimon is claiming shemin hadin netoloi mi beis Levi. Shimon turns round, and Reuven is not in a position to judge this one, but Shimon says, excuse me, I'm not a ganav. I had good reason to take them from Levi. Levi owes me money, he hasn't paid up. I have chupped the candlesticks. Not chas v'shalom as a ganav. I'm an upstanding, even if you speak to the biggest ganavim, they'll never tell you that they are besser mention. They're people they've got this reason, that reason why they've done it. So this, Reuven Tainas, but Levi owes him money. Levi is the criminal. He hasn't paid back. What Reuven was Ovid Inish Dina de Nafshe, he went and chupped the candlesticks in partial payment for what he's been owed. And now Shimon did, and therefore, this is what Shimon is claiming. Shemin Adin Atomimi Beis Levi. Now, you're Reuven. I'd like you to be Reuven this morning. I wouldn't want you to be Shimon or Levi. But you can be Reuven. And Reuven, now, what do? You see this act. You see Shimon. Definitely, no question about it. Shimon has chupped Levi's candlesticks. And you approach Shimon and you say to Shimon, excuse me, what are you up to? And Shimon says, oh, you'd know what I know about Levi. You'd understand me. You'd be surprised that I didn't take even more. So Shimon has taken the candlesticks. Now Shimon says to Reuven, listen, I'm going away on holiday. Could you look after these candlesticks for me? You'll end up with these candlesticks. What do? Who do you give them back to when Shimon comes back from holiday? Do you give them back to Shimon when he comes back? He gave them to you, you give them back. Or do you say, excuse me, I've seen these candlesticks being removed from Levi's house clearly without Levi's permission. I'm going to return them back to Levi. What do? What's the right thing to do? What would you do? What would you tell someone to do in such a situation?
Got the
best. Oh. So he's in Beizin. What did the Beizin tell him? What did the Beizin say? So the answer is go to the Rosh. So the Rosh tells you what to do. So the Rosh says, therefore, v'im hayo Reuven machzira. So Reuven doesn't know who's right over here. But one thing is true, that v'im hayo Reuven machzira lelevi, if Reuven would give them back to Levi, yes, Shimon avyon alav kol yomov. Shimon will have a claim against him all forever. Excuse me, I gave you a counter. What are you interfering? Who asked you to interfere with what's going on? Vivim yitzfos Shimon meshel Reuven, and now Shimon has timers against Reuven for being mafsid him. Lo hayom machzir eloi. So Reuven is exposing himself to being attacked, maybe not physically, but for being he is in the firing line as far as Shimon is concerned. Because Shimon is claiming that Reuven has been mafsid him by giving them back to Levi. Therefore, ein Reuven chayev lehatzil Levi b'mamoinoi with his own money. He's not mechuyev to put himself in trouble with Shimon, because there's a chance that he doesn't know who's right. So the truth of the matter is, what Rabbi Yanki said, that to go to Beis Din, I think probably the right thing to do is to take the candlesticks to Beis Din and say to Reuven, look, I can't deny what I've seen. I've seen over here that you've removed them. Your story might be entirely credible, but as things are at the moment, I can't get involved over here, and therefore, I can place the case in Beis Din. That would be a reasonable thing to do.
What actual hasad would that be to Shimon?
Why would there be hefsa to Shimon? Because Shimon says that I'm owed money by Levi. These candlesticks were a drop in the ocean compared with the money that Levi owes me. These were therefore my candlesticks, and now you're putting me in a precarious situation. Maybe even if Reuven were to put the candlesticks in the possession of Beis Din, maybe even in that case, he could have tainas that you're being mafsid me, you're compromising my position. Who asked you to get involved? Who asked you to get involved in such a situation? So Shulchan Aruch Mor's paskin this in Siman, in Chesh Mishpat, Siman Shin Mem Ches, Siv Zayin. So it's been paskin. The Ramah says, Reuven Shirah Shimon Shnichlas Beis Levi. Reuven sees how Shimon goes into, breaks into Levi's house. The Gomav Chafetz Echod. What he's seeing is a Geneva. Without it being explained otherwise, it looks like a Geneva. Ubo is a Chafetz Liad Reuven. Reuven is given it as for safekeeping by Shimon. Vechziroi. If he gives it le Shimon back to Shimon, ein Levi yochel lehotzin men abedin. Shulchan Aruch says he cannot. Levi's got no tain against Reuven. Says the Ramah qualifies the din in Shulchan Aruch. V'dafka says the Ramah she Shimon yesh le shum taina neged Levi. Only if Shimon's got a taina against Levi. Avol imein lo taina aleim. If Shimon shrugs his shoulders and says. This is my parnosa, this is what I do, I break into people's houses, and therefore this is what he says. He says, rak, he says, genovam, he clearly stole them, v'zeh yodea Reuven, Reuven knows this, im hichziram lel Shimon, if he nonetheless gives them back to Shimon, he says, chayev l'shalim l'levi. That action is actually, he's accountable for what he did towards Levi. Why? Says the Ramah, Dahava le lehoshiv ho'avedo lebailim. He should have given it back to the rightful owners. He had a chiyuv hashavas avedo, having these candlesticks in his hands, in his possession. That's the din of the Ramah. Now, what about after Yush? What about if Levi would have been misyayish from these candlesticks? He knows his house was broken into, he knows the candlesticks have been swiped, and now he's in a situation where he was already misyayish, and only after that, no, Yush, Bidas, he knows they've been stolen. He was misyayish from them, and only then did Shimon the Gamav deposit them in the hands of Reuven. Can't Reuven say, look, it's no longer, you came to my possession after Yush. Can you say it was after Yush? And after Yush, therefore, I've got no obligation. There's no din of a Shabbos Avedah after Yush. Is that... Sorry? So that's why the whole introduction of the story, what happened here in Shuvas HaRosh, is there just so that, because the Rosh and the Ramah paskens it la halacha, that a person who was this Reuven receiving the candlesticks, actually we're talking about, there's no indication it was after Yush, but the very fact that I'm an innocent Reuven, I've got nothing to do with this, I'm not Levi and I'm not Shimon, so I'm out of the picture, it's just those were given to me for safekeeping. Maybe I only found out about this whole story after they already came into my possession, but I am branded as a Shomer Avedah. I have the obligations of somebody, it says an Avedah, although it's not an Avedah, it's a Geneva, it's been stolen. So the Gamav still has a chiyuv heishiv sagzela shegozo. But I, who am, I'm a third party, I've, since I know that it is ovud, it is lost from the owners, I've got a chiyuv of hashavas avedo. That's the din. That's what the Ramah clearly says. And in fact, the Nesivus adds, the Nesivus HaMishpot, the Sifkot and Beis, Nira, afilu bo liad Reuven, acha yush, Chayev Reuven, if he gives it back to Shimon, he's going to be Chayev for the cost of the candlesticks towards Levi. Why? He was a Shomer Avedah. How can he be Shomer Avedah? He only received it after Yush. What's going on? So, very interesting. So the Siva says, V'after Mavua B'Simon, Shin Samach Aleph, De'Gozal V'Nisyashu Abaylim, if somebody stole, and then there was Yush, and vo achev ochloi, there's a case here in Siman Shin Samach Aleph, Siman Shin Samach Aleph Sif Dalet, says the following. What happens in this case? Here, I read out from Shulchan Aruch. We know this well. Yin Yush im shinu v'shus kaina. Here's something else to think about. Shimon, who bought the house, in our case, he certainly is that considered as being yush 12 years ago, and shinu v'shus when the house changed possession from ownership from Reuven the gunner, the kleptomaniac, to innocent Shimon, who just bought a house in Golders Green. What's going to be a deal? Sorry?
Shinu Rishus is not Shinu Balim.
But there is a Shinu ownership.
Shinu ownership, but it's not Shinu Rishus.
That's what Shinu Rishus means. It means Shinu Balim. That's what it means. That's what it means. But what do you say? Is this considered, would this apply over here? Well, I'll tell you why. When Shimon bought the house, did he buy all these tefillin?
No.
Yeah. Didn't intend to buy them. He had no das to be kain of them. Not just that, he had das not to be kain of them. It's the din, mefurish, a din, shulchan aruch siman shin nun vav in cheshem mishpat, osa liknos mi'aganav hachefetz shegonav. Although there's a din that yush and shinu rishus will work, but if you are a party, you are a party to the shinu rishus, that's forbidden to do. If chas v'shalom someone did it, it works. The oven godel, Shulchan Aruch says, understand, it's an oven godel. Here he is, aiding and abetting. Shahari machzik yidei over aveiro. So obviously it's also to buy something from a ganav, even if you know it was after Yush, because he's got to give it back, the ganav. And when you buy it, you're number one, you're helping the ganav, but number two, you're actually facilitating the shinu rishus of the yush, which actually takes it all out of the rishus of the original owners. So of course it's forbidden. So we're not going to say zochin leil adam shleimi daitoi chaseiro shleimi dai. Of course he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to be a ba'aveiro. He doesn't want to be involved in this. So therefore Shimon did not want to be koina. No question about it. When he bought the house. So the question is over here whether Shimon can say, look, I didn't want to be koina, I don't want anything to do with this, they're not mine, then therefore they happen to have been in the house that I bought, and therefore, since I don't want to be koina them, because I don't want to do the avera of being aiding and abetting a gamuf, but maybe also I don't want to be, can you say though, that be'isura osa liode? Why? Because there's a gamuf around who still oh, he's still got a chiyuv of returning these items. So there's a din in Shin Samach Aleph. Again, Shulchan Aruch, Sin Shamas, Sin Simon, Shin Samach Aleph, Sif Hey. So Shulchan Aruch says the following: Lo yav a shinui Elohim kein mechoroi or inasonoi la'ache. It's not considered a shinui unless he sold it or he gave it to somebody else. Avlim bo ache v'not lebi beis ha-gazlum. If somebody came and took it from the house of the gazlum, which isn't our case, you'll see in a moment, shelo mirtzeinoi, so someone steals from the ganav. Ki ilu natolim mi beis ha-bailim. It is still in the domain, in the ownership and possession of the owner, wherever it is. Now, the imporoi hasheni, he says the following. He says the im yutze hanigzel goyve mearishim. So if somebody has again, Shimon was the one in our case. Reuven in our story was the one who stole. Along comes Shimon, and Shimon steals it from the ganav. The din is that the original owner, if he wants to, the nigzel, the one who it has been stolen from, goyve mi'arishon o mi'asheni, he can choose whether he takes it from the original ganav or the one who took it from him. That's the din. And that's the din, v'im paro'oi hasheni l'arishon. If the second ganav pays the first ganav back for stealing from him, o'i she'agazlan l'arishon mochal hasheni. The first gazlan says to the second ganav, don't worry about it. There's plenty from where that came. You're welcome to it. So he lets him off. Ein klum. It doesn't help. It belongs to the original owner. The second one has an obligation towards the original owner. Now, he says, Bamed varim amurim. This is what it is in Sifvav. When is this true? Shaloi nisyashu. If the owner hasn't, in the meantime, given up hope of ever giving it back. Aval im nisyashu echod. If I think it should be im nisyashu, if the owners gave up, ubo echod or acher, there's a question of what it should be. V'ochloi. What about the situation? Somebody stole food, he stole a cake, and somebody else comes along and they ate the cake. What's going to be the din after Yush? Stole the cake, number one. Yush, two. Then along came somebody else and ate the cake. What's going to be the din? Potter. He doesn't have to. Nach brocha, ein zem vorche le menaitz. Can't make a brocha on something to stone him. The din is potter. The second person who ate the cake is potter. Why? Nehi shim hoyo be'en. Hoyo chayev lach ziroi. If the chayfetz was intact, you've got to give it back. Atosh she'ochloi potter. Let me explain what's going on. This will really help us understand what the obligations are in this particular case. The din is the following, that if in a situation where, remember, Reuven is the ganav, he's got a chiyuv looming over him of a heshev esagzelo. If it wouldn't be for that, the owner has given up, you come and find it, you're Shimon, you buy the house, here are pairs of tefillin, hats, coats, whatever it is. Now the din is that you find it, you come across it, you encounter these items after Yush. That's it. You can keep them. Why shouldn't you keep them? Sorry? But you don't need Shinu Rishus. I'm not the Ganav. You're not the Ganav. We find these items after Yush. What difference does it make when you find something in the street after Yush or you find it somewhere else after Yush? Makes no difference. What's stopping the Yush taking effect for me, for you, for all of us innocent bystanders? What is stopping Yush helping us? The very fact that Shimon, the Ganav, what should we call him? The Ganav. The very fact that the Ganav has an obligation to give them back. It's a fascinating situation. I can't be Koine Chayfetz, although there's been Yush. As long as there's somebody else in the world who has an obligation to give this chayfetz back. The Veheshiv looms over this chayfetz. That's the chiddush. And the source of this is a Tosfos. It's a Mishnah in Hagozel Umachil, in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yudal Aleph on the base. And Tosfos Diba Maska, Gozal Velonius Yashua Bailim, says exactly that. What difference does it make whether the cake has been eaten or not? The difference is only, Yush has happened anyway. The difference is only, as long as the cake is there, Ba'ein, then the Ganav has an obligation of a Heshiv. That Heshiv stops me being able to make use, so to speak, of the din of Yush of an Avedo. It is an Avedo. As far as I'm concerned, it's an Avedo. I found it after Yush. Absolutely. But nonetheless, because of that, it stops the din of, but it stops me being able to be koinu it, and I have to make sure this chayfetz goes back. But if that chayfetz has been eaten, it's no longer there, the ganav can't give back the chayfetz itself. He's only got a monetary obligation. If the ganav allows me, or the ganav himself has been misyayish, like this case, he's gone, he's left it. He's obviously not intending to keep these items to give them back. So then, in a case where the chafotzim would no longer be be'en, then the din of finding an aveda after Yush would take effect. But since, in this case, these items are here, even though the ganav is not intending to give them back, maybe he's not mentally stable enough to be able to obligate him to do it, these items are here. As long as the items are there, even though I, Shimon, bought the house from Reuven unwittingly, I bought it after Yush, many, many years after Yush. As long as the chayf chafotzim al be'en, there's a chiv of v'heshev es ha. It's not a gzelo. I haven't got the chiv v'heshev as a gzelo, but the din it is an avedo, and the Yush didn't help because there's a chiv v'heshev as a gzelo over somebody. What happens if he was nifter and he was no longer around, and therefore there's no personal chiv? That's a whole interesting question. But this really helps. Sorry? He's got, that's right, Mimele has to give them back. So all of these items, he has an obligation to give them back.
He's got a chiyuv every day to give it back. And
he's got a chiyuv to do his best to give them back. He has become a glorified, appointed, a meshev avedo of everything in the house, wow, appointed by the no one less than the Ribbono Shel Olam. And even though he had no das to be koina, there's much more material, but no time. Even though we don't say chatzeru shadam koina lo, that it's his. Mitzad sheni, he can't escape the chiyuvim of doing it because that is put upon him. And this, by the way, we haven't got time for this, maybe another time. This is the key to knowing what the din is with all types of public places where things get left. And that's why it's so poignant, where things get left behind. You say that they came into the reshus of the institution, of the whether it's the mikveh or the shul or the yeshiva, whatever it is, before Yush. Do you say, Bisuros of Yodin, there's a chiv to give them back and Yush will never work? Or not? This is really the key to this, but much, much more needs to be discussed. I'll just mention, when I was on holiday, I mentioned this to someone, what was going on, and he told me, oh, I once went to the Sheraton Beach in Eretz Yisrael, and I came back inside my very modest bag where I had my swimming costume and my towel in. I found a Rolex watch. Wow. Somebody had gone to the beach and put the Rolex watch into the bag. They thought it was theirs, and it was just his. When you got home, there's a Rolex watch inside this thing. So the question is, they went to ask some Torah personality about it, and this person told him, no, you've got to keep it, Yov Elio, because Bisuros Eliode, it came into your Rishus before he had been Misyayish, before he knew about it. Yeah. So I wanted to taina know it's wrong, because if you don't say Chatzeu Shlozim Koindlish Levidaito, he knew nothing about it until the person would have realized that he hasn't got his watch, because he looked for it inside his bag. At that point, he looked around for everywhere and was misyayish. Right. Only then did he realize that he had found it. And therefore, but much more, we haven't got time for this, but this is certainly maybe for another shir, another time, but this is something that I just want to quickly finish off, if I may, just a quick something. We're not quite up to Rosh Hashanah yet, but everybody who I speak to has the following question. You know, we don't have egos, we don't have nuts. The minute got to have nuts on Rosh Hashanah. Some only on Rosh Hashanah, some till Yom Kippur, some till Shana Rabbah, inclusive, different min hagim. Why? Because egos is become much of a chit. You know, the joke I once heard that a reverend in one of the shuls there, saying he didn't prepare his Rosh very well, his sermon, and he gets up on Yom HaNeroim in front of a full shul, and he says, you know, we don't have shul, there's gamachi of egos. So he starts doing Aleph is 1, Gimel is 3, is 4, and then Zion is 7, is 11, and Vov is 7, is and he works out 7, and then he says, and Chet is gamachi thing. Oy, I must have made a mistake. So he starts again. He doesn't realize that the gemach is one out. So ask if it's a gemach of 700 and something else, and beautiful gemach of many, many words together and everything else. Psh, it's one out. Oh, Kruv Shim and Yuli. Gvaldig, one out. It doesn't matter. It's okay. But punk in 17 and 18 doesn't go. Punk, you're going to make a ganzer zach. No, it goes in because one of the gemach is one out. Has anybody got an answer to this? Has everybody had this question? Yeah. A gamach is one out. Leave me alone about the nuts. It's one out. Say toignish, it doesn't go. Why does Chazal have to choose something which is 17? Anyone had this ever?
Yes.
Oh, did I mention this before?
Yeah. No, I've seen it.
Oh, where did you see this?
There's a possum somewhere.
Yeah, you've seen this before? Because Maisa came to Vayero, in Parshas Vayero. Yeah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avi Melech at the time that when he took Sorah, so he said, but he coined Kappa over Tom Levavi, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he says, Gam Anoich Yodati, ki besom Levav Chos Yisroich, Sich Gam Anoich Yoscha, Mechatoili. So answer, tell me, when is Chet spelled? So Chet, Ches Tes, is Gemach of Egoiz. Why is sometimes it written without an alpha, sometimes with? Do you have an answer to that? So at least I can add something to you. And that's the following. That what Avimelech was saying was that it was an absolute onus. He said, this is my sister. How should I know? No one tell me any difference. How am I supposed to know? So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but it doesn't matter, your behavior wasn't right, as the Gemara says. When someone comes to visit, you don't ask who's this lady. You start asking if you've got a place to be. And therefore, it was a chetela. A chet without ches tes, without an aleph, is a chetela. We'd say in English, it has a shadow of a chet. There's a shadow of a chet there. So then we don't need egos, because the gematria of chet without an aleph, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should be zeicha, we shouldn't have even a shadow of a chet, even by oinus, shouldn't be attached to us. Those are our aspirations. Hopefully that answers our
problem. We have items from Eliyahu Novi. There must be millions of items, where are they?
It's a very interesting question. So the answer is Shlomo Zalman once told me.